2. Welcome back as we continue our journey on Salvation is from the Jews with author Roy Schoeman. When we left the last episode, we were talking about Adolf Hitler and the Thule Society, so why don't we pick it up there?
Sure. Let me begin with a very quick recap of the story of the Thule Society, because it really does set the stage for what's to follow. Hitler's first springboard to public prominence was his membership and his role in the Thule Society. The Thule Society was an occult brotherhood. It was an occult group in Munich. Thule, the name of the society, comes from the Germanic version of the Atlantis myth. Thule, like Atlantis, which most of us are familiar from today's New Age mythology, was supposed to be a continent in the Atlantic Ocean where the inhabitants had these super, there were super race, had superpowers, mental telepathy and traveling through the air and so forth. The continent sank beneath the waves of the Atlantic, but before it sank, the super race fled to Europe, to the mainland, and from there to Asia, and they intermingled, interbred with inferior races, and in so doing lost their superpowers. But if the purity of their bloodlines could be restored through selective breeding, eugenics, as we talked about, then they would regain their superpowers. And that was essentially the Nazi Superman myth. That was where the Nazi Superman were to come from. That's why it was so important to have this eugenics and selective breeding in Germany, was so that this super race of Aryans, of the German people, could regain their superpowers by eliminating the taint of inferior blood that had crept in through intermingling with inferior races, first and foremost of those pernicious blood influences being coming from the Jews as the basest and most degenerate of these inferior races.
And this sounds like something out of a comic book, and you wonder how it could create such a movement. But yet, as you're pointing out, it's of the occult. And so it's Satan's power over us, as we've talked about here in the apostolate. It darkens the mind and weakens the will. And this is where the diabolical comes in.
I want to get back probably to the Thule Society at some point. But this, that line from, I think it's Romans 1 from St. Paul about how if you exchange the uncreated creator God for his creatures and give yourself over to lust of the flesh, the mind is darkened. The stupidity in that sense that was embraced by the Third Reich is stunning. It's mind-boggling, and it can only be explained that way. There were harebrained occult theories that totally permeated the Third Reich to the point where after the war, A lot of the Third Reich scientists came over to the United States. A lot of them were Nazi scientists working for the Nazis because they were forced to, and they were, you know, kind of rehabilitated after the war and became scientists very instrumental in the United States and the space program and so forth. And one of them complained in the early 50s that had Hitler spent as much money on authentic scientific research as he spent on occult research, Germany would have had the atomic bomb before the United States. They honestly believed, and they spent immense sums of money on something that they called the hollow world theory, that held that we are not inhabiting the outside of the globe of the earth. We're inside the shell of it. So actually, if you could have a telescope powerful enough and aim it up, you could see what was happening across the world. And under the influence of this theory, they sent an expedition to the Arctic with very powerful telescopes so they could see the location of the Allied fleet in the Atlantic Ocean by aiming upwards.
No darkened intellect there.
No darkened intellect there. So anyway, you're absolutely right that occultism was an absolutely necessary component flowing into the Third Reich for a number of reasons. One is essentially to allow Satan to hold enough sway over the individuals involved and eventually over the society involved, and to darken their intellect, and to basically abase their morality, deafen their consciences to the point where they could accept behavior that any normal human conscience would scream at. Let me go back to the Thule Society, if I may. First of all, the Thule Society, as I said, it was overtly occult. The leader of the Thule Society was a man named Dietrich Eckart, who boasted that he had personally initiated Hitler. Now, what is initiation? From the point of view of the occultist, initiation is opening the centers of higher vision so that they can see into the spiritual world. In fact, what initiation is the introduction of demonic entities into the person, who then do give the person an ability to communicate with the spiritual world, but it isn't the unfallen spiritual world. It is, if you excuse the pun, sure as hell, the fallen spiritual world. So here the head of the Thule Society was boasting that he had essentially introduced into Hitler a state of possession, of demonic possession. And no less of an authority than Father Gabriella Amworth, who is the chief exorcist of Rome, said, quote, without a doubt, Hitler was personally consecrated to Satan. And that came from the Thule Society, came from the occultism that was his initial public platform. This stream of occultism that flowed into the Thule Society and into their teaching about restoring the superiority of the Aryan race by selective breeding, which then became the basis of a lot of the Nazi programs to sterilize or exterminate inferior races, can be traced directly back to a mid-19th century occultist named Madame Helena Blavatsky. Now, I'm not talking about this to show my unhealthy erudition, but because Madame Blavatsky, even today, is considered the foundress of the New Age movement in the West.
Oh my.
And so it's very, very telling to see that the spiritual influence that blossomed in the Third Reich and the Holocaust is the spiritual influence that is animating the New Age movement today. Let me see if I can quickly find a quote. Here's a quote from the New Age Almanac, okay, in a contemporary American publication, just like an encyclopedia of the New Age. Madame Blavatsky stands out as the fountainhead of modern occult thought and the popularizer of many of the ideas and terms which have a century later been assembled within the New Age movement. The Theosophical Society, which she co-founded, has been the major advocate of occult philosophy in the West and the single most important avenue of Eastern teaching to the West. So let me talk a little bit about what this Theosophical Society taught, what she taught in her writings, and see if you can see where Hitler was getting his stuff. If you'll indulge maybe a slightly lengthy direct citation, this is from The Secret Doctrine, which was her Bible, so to speak, that she wrote, you know, the exposition of all of her thought.
And this was written in the 1800s?
It was published in 1888. Okay. It was supposedly, by the way, dictated. In other words, it was dictated by a spiritual being, you know, by a higher being, really by a lower being. By the way, her emblem for her society was the swastika.
Oh, my.
So even the swastika comes from her in that sense.
So we have the influence to Hitler and the influence to the New Age today. So
that's people that
talk about New Age today being harmless,
that's
probably
right.
Better pay attention.
And by the way, if you get a copy of her Secret Doctrine, it's still, if my memory serves me correctly, has the swastika as the emblem on the cover. And it was also it was her seal also was the swastika. So let me read from there. The human races are born one from the other, grow, develop, become old, and die. Since the beginning of the Atlantean race, right, that's the race from Thule, many million years have passed, and yet we find the last of the Atlanteans still mixed up with the Aryan element.
So there's this equation millions of years back.
Right, but today the remnant is the Aryan element. That's what Hitler called the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Germans, right? We're Aryans. Occult philosophy teaches us that even now, the new race and races are preparing to be formed. On the law of parallel history and races, the majority of the future mankind will be composed of glorious adepts. Adepts being this super race, these super people, these developed Aryans with their powers that come from Atlantis. The Aryan Hindu belongs to the oldest races now on earth, the Semite Hebrew to the latest. Because she's going to make the argument that the Hebrew race, that the Aryan race is the highest, most evolved race, and the Hebrew race is the lowest, least evolved race, and therefore the most destructive to the bloodlines.
And the Aryan was transferred through the Hindu? Is that what she's referring
to?
Yeah,
as a matter of fact, even Hitler subscribed to that. It's pretty bizarre, because you'd think of racism, you know, the people in India, their skin is darker. They're not blonde-haired and blue-eyed, so where do they get off being Aryans? But he actually, the SS had a division called the Anna Erba, which was its occult research division. They spend more money on the occult research division than the United States spend on the Manhattan Project. And one of the projects of this Anna Erba, of the occult research division, was they sent teams of scientists to Tibet to measure the skulls of Tibetan lamas to prove that they were really Aryans, to prove that they belonged to the same race
as
the superior Germans.
What was their reference point?
I'm not making this up. I wish I were. You know, it's this darkening of the intellect.
Unbelievable.
So I don't want to go too far afield here, but this whole science of racial purity, this whole pseudo-theology of the evolution of the races and the development of the superior Aryan race, which required the elimination of the Jews, really can be traced back to Madame Blavatsky and her occultism. And I go at some painful length in the book through the various people who, because Madame Blavatsky was about 80 years before Hitler, who developed her theories and made it more and more Teutonic, tied it more and more closely into German nationalism, until in the days of the Thule Society, it was sort of like very directly an expression of German nationalism.
Do you want to touch on some of those? Because I found that very interesting how it did carry through. And I actually sat and put the dates and looked at the overlaps, and it's fascinating. As you say, you build a good argument.
Yeah, I'll just maybe talk about the last. It went from Madame Blavatsky to her disciple Guido List to his disciple Adolf Lanz, and Adolf Lanz lived late enough. He was born in 1874, so he lived late enough so that his work directly influenced Hitler. And in fact, he published. You mentioned it sounds like it's from a comic book at the start of the show.
Right.
Adolf Lanz published essentially a comic book. He published an occult journal, but it was heavily illustrated with cartoonish illustrations, called Astara, which expounded all of this racist mythology about the, you know, superior German race and the degenerate Jews. And Hitler had a complete collection of this Astara journal from Adolf Lanz, so much so that he was missing an issue, and he went to Adolf Lanz to get a copy of the one issue that was missing from his collection, and he lived something like two doors down from him when he lived in Vienna. So the genealogy is very direct between this occult racism. And remember that this, we talked in the last show, that this eugenic racism was also part and parcel of the predecessor to Planned Parenthood, to Margaret Sanger. So I guess what I'm saying is, it's not a very healthy sign for our society when you look around today and you see the parallel between the eugenics that we have today through Margaret Sanger and Planned Parenthood with the eugenics of the Third Reich, and the occultism that we have today with the New Age and the occultism behind the Third Reich.
If history doesn't repeat itself, it certainly is rhyming.
Well, let's hope that the fulfillment of the history, that it doesn't repeat itself all the way to the climax, but it doesn't look too good right now.
Now, Hitler was not the only one that was influenced within the Nazis by this occultism, and you show several other examples in the book.
It's the other way around, in the sense that the entire Nazi movement was an expression of this occultism.
Exactly.
And there was no... Essentially, there was no Nazi movement without this occultism. And maybe this is not a bad point to put in. There was no Nazi movement without the occultism, and there was no Nazi movement without sexual depravity. And I think we're probably going to avoid that on the show because of the nature of the audience.
Right.
There is a lot of material in the book that is a little bit more direct and a little bit more direct than we might want to talk about on the air.
Right.
But if adult listeners want to fill in that part of the puzzle, they might want to return to the book for that. But the Nazi movement was completely dependent on occultism and depravity, because the Nazi movement was, of course, completely dependent on severing the individual's soul's relationship from God. Because you could hardly ask people to send cattle cars of human beings to gas chambers or to be guards at Auschwitz if they had a functioning conscience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if their spirit, you know, their soul was in any sense in a state of grace and in union with God. So, and yet you couldn't ask somebody in a state of grace to leap into being a guard at Auschwitz. You need an intermediary stage to coarsen their conscience, to draw them more and more deeply into the clutches of the adversary, into the clutches of Satan, until the point where their conscience is so deafened and their morality is so coarsened that they could accept that. And the mechanisms that the Nazis used for that were occultism and depravity.
You mentioned before some of the studies under Vilagut. Did you want to go into more of those?
Well,
a lot of those,
sure. They're really fun and bizarre. And, you know, there's probably at least 100 pages or about 100 pages in the book dedicated to that, in part because they're so incredible, so hard to believe, like that hollow world theory, that I felt I had to prove it. I had to cite chapter and verse and documents and so
they
forth.
Made actual battle strategies based. You were talking about the battleship and the
for
pendulum.
For instance, the pendulum, and that's interesting because people in the New Age do that today. I know nutritionists who use a pendulum to find out what nutritional element a patient is missing, you know, and they'll dangle this pendulum, I guess, over different pills, and the one that the pendulum settles on is the pill that the person needs. Well, the Nazis use that to supposedly locate Allied battleships in the Atlantic. And they would have a map of the Atlantic Ocean with, you know, and dangle a pendulum. And where the pendulum did something would be where the Allied ship was and where they would send the U-boats or whatever to attack. It was, you know, totally bizarre, but it was this permeation of occultism into the Third Reich. So you had Himmler, who was, of course, the founder and the head of the SS, and most people just know him as this, you know, evil Nazi. But he was, you know, a dyed-in-the-wool, total occultist. For instance, this doesn't directly sound like occultism, but I'll justify the statement. He was never without his copy of the Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita is the Hindu scriptures.
Okay.
Now, occultism is in many ways the westernization of Hinduism, and that's a little bit long to go into too, but as that quote about Madame Blavatsky from the New Age element said, what the New Age is, what occultism is to a large extent, is the taking of Eastern pagan religion, the central image of that being Hinduism, into the West. So anyway, in this stream of this equation between Western occultism and New Age and Hinduism, Himmler was never without his copy of the Bhagavad Gita. He was convinced that he was the reincarnation of a 10th century German king named, I believe, Henry I. He never made an important decision without occultly communing with Henry I and getting advice from him. Now, how you can commune with yourself occultly is a little beyond me.
You had more than a couple examples of that where they could commune with their ancestors and they could see what their ancestors had seen.
Absolutely.
That are all related.
Absolutely bizarre. The SS itself was set up as an occult society with initiation rituals taking place at midnight and involving the torturing of animals and, you know, all of this stuff it was an occult society. The SS symbol that people know, at least from war movies, you know, that the symbol of the SS, the twin lightning bolts, that was an occult symbol that came from Guido List, who was that disciple of Madame Blavatsky. The swastika, as I mentioned, was an occult symbol that came from Blavatsky. And maybe in the last minute or two that I have, I'll have a chance to fill out the last picture of this puzzle, which is, of course, because Nazism was based on occultism and anti-Christianity and Satanism, it was extremely anti-Christian and had plans for replacing Christianity. It's important that people know that and understand that. They weren't about to tolerate Christianity and only want to get rid of the Jews. They want to get rid of the Jews racially, and they want to destroy Christianity in terms of the church and faith. In other words, we talked earlier, or we alluded to this, and this with this I'll probably have to finish. Jewish identity is through the blood, because it's the result of the promise of God to Abraham. So you're basically a Jew because you're born a Jew, or you're born of Jews. You're not really a Jew on the basis of faith.
Right.
And an atheist Jew still considers himself a Jew, and other Jews still consider him a Jew, even though he's atheist. You're a Christian on the basis of faith. Christianity was the universalization of the relationship between God and man that had originally been through the descendants of Abraham. So by definition, your union with Christ, your Christian identity, comes from faith in the sacraments, and it's meant for everybody. Whereas by definition, your once Jewish identity is restricted to an ethnic group and flows through the blood. Therefore, the Nazis wanted to eliminate Judaism by eliminating the blood, and they wanted to eliminate Christianity by eliminating the faith. So they did not have a campaign to exterminate Christians. They had a campaign to destroy the church, to destroy the sacraments, and to destroy the Christian faith. And maybe at this point it's more prudent to maybe begin next time, but they had well-developed program in place to be put into place when they had enough influence over the population to do so, to destroy the Christian church in Germany and all the territory that they controlled, which they intended to be all of Europe, and replace it with a new Nazi religion, which was this pagan, this Teutonic pseudo-paganism that we discussed at length.
All too often, and we spoke previously about compartmentalization, and all too often we'll compartmentalize our own lives and see religion as religion and history as history, and never the two shall meet. And yet what you're really helping everyone to see here is the spirituality behind what we've learned in our history classes in high school, so that it wasn't Adolf Hitler against the Jews. This was Satan
against
Christ.
And it's always Satan against Christ. And St. Paul says we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And it's very beautiful to look at history, and it makes sense for the first time when one sees it from a theological perspective and sees it as basically the battle for the salvation of human souls between the enemy of salvation and Christ.
I appreciate you sharing this with. I appreciate the fact that you wrote this book, because you show that throughout history. And too often in 21st century America, we try to keep those two apart. And we spoke earlier about how people deny the historicity of Christ, and yet here the Jewish traditional writings, the Christian traditional writings, they all confirm it. The Roman writings, so. To look back at history with the proper lens and see how Satan was working, and then to look at today with how Satan is working against Christ in the same way, through the same manner.
Through history, through our social institutions, through our elections.
Thank you so much for writing this book. We appreciate you being here with us, and we appreciate you being here with us. And again, I'll encourage you to read Chapter 6. We'll finish that off in the next session. But we'll have to see how much we can finish off because of the delicacy of the subject matter. So thank you. God bless.